Hello and welcome. This is JD Fascinetti, and you're listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting to you from my office in San Francisco, California, at the University of California, San Francisco. I'm perusing a couple of journals this afternoon and have come across an interesting article or two, and I thought I would do a couple podcasts on these papers, probably one podcast per paper. That way you don't have to listen through things that you might not find to be relevant. So at any rate, this article is titled Oxytocin Alterations and Neurocognitive Domains in Patients with Hypopituitarism. It's published in the journal Pituitary, volume 22, number 2, April 2019, and it's on pages 105 through 112. And this is a paper that comes from the University of Illinois at Chicago, Public Health Sciences at Loyola University, and the VA Medical Center in Chicago, Illinois. As way of background, oxytocin is a neuropeptide that's produced in the hypothalamus, probably other places too, but it's transported to the posterior pituitary where it's stored and released, probably along with vasopressin. There's been a lot of focus on oxytocin in patients with neuropsychiatric issues and bonding, social activity, etc. And there have been some hypotheses that people with hypopituitarism and maybe diabetes insipidus have diminished oxytocin and thus have problems with social isolation, getting along with others, working in groups, etc. You've probably seen these things and heard of these things in the medical literature, on the various message boards, etc. And there's research that's ongoing. Probably the biggest study that I know that's ongoing is at Stanford. There are patients who've tried nasal spray oxytocin, and I have a couple of patients who've tried it as well. And this is a very interesting paper to me. What they did was basically did a cross-sectional study where they took people with pituitary disorders and measured plasma oxytocin. Most of them were hypopituitary patients. Some had diabetes insipidus. Some did not. They also had control subjects. They also did some depression inventory scores, etc. Things of that nature to try to sort of pair levels with, if you will, emotional state. So the studies I thought were very interesting. They had, if you want to focus on the quality of life issues and the depression inventories, etc., they found that hypopituitary and diabetes in subjects had a lower quality of life compared to the hypopituitary patients that did not have diabetes insipidus, and that kind of makes sense because having diabetes insipidus significantly affects your quality of life. They found these subjects also had more difficulty with activities of daily life and mobility. So that was kind of interesting to me. It's something I would have predicted to begin with. Patients who were hypopituitary and had diabetes insipidus performed worse on different tasks related to emotion recognition. So just as we would think, and our patients tell us, there are problems as a result of hypopituitarism and diabetes insipidus. Here's a really interesting thing. So they looked at oxytocin levels in patients who were the control subjects with no pituitary disease, those with hypopituitarism, and those with hypopituitarism and diabetes insipidus. Now, they were looking at peripheral serum levels of oxytocin. So oxytocin circulating in the bloodstream. You know, patients come in all the time. They want their oxytocin levels checked because they think they maybe have a problem with the oxytocin in their central nervous system. And I tell them that the levels don't correlate. You know, what really matters is the oxytocin in your brain. We can't really make an inference of what's going on in your bloodstream. And this paper showed exactly that. You really should take a look at this paper. I gave you the reference before. But what they actually saw were that oxytocin levels were higher in people with hypopituitarism than those who are control subjects. The levels were highest in the group that had hypopituitarism and diabetes insipidus, intermediate in those with hypopituitarism but no diabetes insipidus, and were lowest in the control group. So this is all very confusing in some ways, but in many ways it sort of illustrates what I've thought all along, is that you can't measure oxytocin in the bloodstream and figure out what's going on in the brain. And that is exactly the same for corticotropin-releasing hormone, thyrotropin-releasing hormone, gonadotropin-releasing hormone. These are all hormones made in the hypothalamus, make their way to the pituitary where they work. They get degraded, and they don't have a job nor a level in the peripheral bloodstream. So I think it's a waste of time to get an oxytocin level in the bloodstream. This paper correlates that or confirms that finding, suggests an unusual correlation that's inverse of what we would expect. So basically, oxytocin levels are worthless. So that doesn't mean that we don't need to do more research and try to figure out what's going on in the brain and whether or not oxytocin administration can improve emotional reactions and responses and other neuropsychiatric problems. I think we have a big question about is nasal oxytocin, which is probably getting absorbed into the circulation, is it then making its way into the brain? We need to sort of, we may never know that, answer that question. We need to sort of figure out whether there is a, how can I say this, whether there's a benefit of therapy that we can measure with neuropsychiatric testing to determine whether or not this is a worthwhile treatment. But at any rate, I hope you find this paper as interesting as I did. And if you want to know more, please take a look at that reference. This is, again, Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, and wish you all a very good day. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. And a quick reminder that if you want to help, you can do so by donating on our website. Just go to pituitaryworldnews.org and click on Get Involved. Our mission is to help reduce the time it takes to diagnosis and improve quality of life for people with pituitary disease. Thank you.